Turn to page 18. I exalt thee. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Turn to page 46. In his presence. In his presence there is peace. When we seek the Father's word, we will find such blessed assurance in the in your presence there is peace. When we seek to know your heart, we will find such blessed assurance in your holy presence, Lord. Page 86, Holy Ground. We are standing on holy ground, and presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. presence on holy ground. Amen.
Good morning. We have another beautiful, balmy spring day in the mountains. But we're glad for it, right? I'd like to welcome everybody. I see a lot of familiar faces. We have any visitors out there today? There we go. All right, there's one. Welcome. Yeah, we got a couple of strangers over there that have come back. Mike and Marty, morning. Welcome, everybody. We'd like everybody to register your attendance in the little folders, get them passed across. In your bulletin, there's a little insert with announcements on it. One thing I want to point out is next week is our regular potluck, except we're not doing a potluck. The ladies are doing a pulled pork fundraiser, so that will be next week, and everybody's invited. Stick around, help the ladies out. Also, next week is the, next week is normally the Heidi the Heifer, where you, if you put money in it for birthdays and anniversaries. Instead of that, on the back table here, we have these nice little coin boxes. We'd like everybody to pick up one and keep it for a couple weeks. Bring it back Palm Sunday with all your loose change here. This is for the Heifer Project International as a fundraiser. And also on the back table, there are some nice calendars that you can take. So the boxes and the calendars are all on the back table there. Grab one as you head out. Okay?
Well done.
Thank you. If I do this 10 or 12 times, I get the hang of it. Also, if you have a prayer concern, or even better, a celebration. We have the blue slips in the pews there, and you can fill those out, and the ushers will pick them up during first hymn. And now let's take a few moments of silence and prepare our hearts and minds for our worship today. Thank you. Thank you. Would you please rise and join me for our opening words? We give praise to our God who knew us before we had breath.
We delight in the Lord who guides us still.
God, help us to live as you would have us live.
Give us obedient hearts.
As we gather today to worship, we know injustice rains down on your people.
Disturb us, God, so that we may act justly.
As we celebrate this day, we know so many who suffer needlessly.
Use us, God, as your hands of mercy.
As we move through our day, following our own agendas,
remind us, God, to walk humbly with you.
Our opening hymn is found on page 402. Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Please join me for our gathering prayer. God, we know things are not right in the world. Children with hunger pangs, families struggle to stay together in times of war and strife. Droughts leave one's lush fields cracked and dry. We know these things to be true, but they seem so far and remote. They seem beyond our reach. They seem too big for us to solve. So we do not seek justice for the widow or the orphan. We do not respond mercifully. As we gather together,
we realize that we cannot walk humbly without you.
We cannot act justly or seek mercy without your grace.
Help us, Lord, to move with mercy
and to speak with a voice that seeks justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2273. Children to come up here. We have a little children's moment with Deb.
Okay, how are y'all this morning? Good. All right, this morning, I am so glad to see all of us here. We've got some visitors from Texas. We've got our local gals. So welcome to church this morning. What do I have here? It's a whiteboard. Or a dry erase board. So let me ask you a question. How can this dry erase board teach us about Jesus? What do you think? We could write prayers on it. What else? We could erase stuff from our boards. So let's pretend that this board is each and every one of us, okay? And we wake up in the morning and our board is clean because it's a new day, okay? Now we're at school and somebody, you know, is not being nice to you, and rather than turning and walking away or saying a kind word, we stick our tongue out at them. Not nice, huh? So, would you write for me on my board? Just write the word tongue, okay? Let's see, it's lunchtime and we're at school and you're out on the playground and you want to be the first person on a swing. So you just run all the way out there and somebody beat you to it. And rather than let them have the first turn, you push them away and you say, I was here first. So let's go ahead and can you write push right there? Okay. Let's see, we're after school and we're walking home. And mom and dad said, I want you to walk straight home from school. Uh-oh, what do? There's the convenience store and you so want that popsicle or that piece of candy. So you go into the store and you buy that piece of candy, and then you go home. What did you do? You didn't listen. We disobeyed our mom, okay? Can you write? Can you write disobey? Would you help her spell it? Okay. So we're at home, and mom's cooking supper, dad's watching the news, and mom says, okay, before it's supper time, I want you to go and wash your hands before we eat. Okay, yeah, mom, okay. Well, mom calls, it's time for supper, and you're just like, okay, I'm gonna hurry up, I'm just gonna go down. Mom's never gonna know I didn't wash my hands. But oh my gosh, you know, she can see underneath them fingernails, okay? So, here again, what did we do? We didn't listen. So, can you put a number two right behind that? Because we didn't listen, we disobeyed again. You know, and we're human, and sometimes that's what we're gonna do. All right, so it's bedtime. Mom says, Dad says, okay, I want you to please go brush your teeth. We're gonna crawl in bed, and then we'll have a bedtime story, okay? And we'll say our prayers. And so we go to the bathroom, and then we just start dilly-dallying, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I really don't feel like brushing my teeth. I'll be okay. It's just one night. And you crawl in bed. Well, of course, you know, mom will ask you, did you brush your teeth before you crawled in bed? And if you say yes, then what? You lied. You disobeyed. Okay. So how about you can put a three over that? There we go. So throughout our lovely day, we've gone to school, and we've done some things that weren't right. You know, they weren't pleasing in Jesus' eyes, because we shouldn't stick our tongue out at people, should we? We definitely shouldn't be mean and physically push somebody else. And we definitely should not disobey our mom and dads, you know? So those are very important things. But you know what this whiteboard is going to teach us about Jesus? You know what Jesus does for us? You're right. Jesus forgives us, okay? And I have two verses. I have one out of the Old Testament, okay, which tells us, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What color is our board? White. It is white, okay? And then out of our New Testament, John, out of the book of John, it says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay, so since everyone's had a turn to write, I want you to go ahead and clean our board. What happened to our sins? They're forgiven. They're erased. So when we go to bed at night and we say, God, you know, I'm really sorry. I wish I would have just not stopped at the store. Or please forgive me for not washing my hands when I really should have. This is what happens. Go ahead. Jesus just wipes your sins away. And then when you wake up the next morning, guess what Jesus gives us? What is this? It's white, a clean slate, absolutely. And will we ever go through a day and just, you know, not do anything displeasing? We try. We really, really do try, okay? But we know in our hearts that Jesus is there to forgive our sins. So every morning we can wake up with what? And be white as snow, okay? So let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for forgiving us at the end of every day, at the beginning of every day, in the middle of our day. Thank you for wiping our slate clean, that we may be white as snow. And this is the word of God. And all God's children said,
in there, and then there's a little toy. Okay, so if you want to pick one, there's different things in each. But if you did get some bubbles, do me a favor and don't blow them in the church, okay? You need to do that outside. So thank you very much for participating.
Would you join me for our litany this morning? When a child is forced to fight in a war that is not his,
let us accept justly, love mercy, and walk humbly.
When a family goes hungry because their crops failed, when a mother buries her daughter because the medicines were too expensive,
let us act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly.
When kindness and mercy are shriveled to dust,
let us act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly.
When we forget God is with us through all of our joys and trials, let us remember that what God requires of us,
to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God.
Would the ushers please come forward for our offering this morning? Please bow your heads. Generous God, you beautifully show us mercy from the beginning of our life to the end, even to eternal life. We act more like your people in the Bible than we like to admit, doubting, impatient, complaining about the sweet manna you provide. Open our eyes to see the truth about ourselves. Give us hope in your power to heal and renew us, individually and as a church. By your Spirit, help us to trust you with our whole heart. May we respond to your love with generosity. Receive these gifts and offerings for the renewal of our congregation and wider community. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. We have several prayer requests this morning. The first one is from Dan and Pat Cooper and from Dick Richards, sharing concerns about Mary, who has fallen and is very weak, and we must pray for our sweet sister Mary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Laura Parker shares that their children, Brent and Corey Parker, have been married 18 years, and they want to celebrate that, and that is a praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. And also for the families of Blaine Paget, R.L. Morris, and Mary Lou Oberlo upon their recent deaths. So in this time of grief, we ask that God walk with them in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Ann Manser shares that Susan Booth is ill with a ear infection, but also her husband, Alan, who has a compromised immune system because of cancer treatments, has pneumonia. And so would you please pray for both Alan and Susan this week that God's mercy will heal them through and through. So for Alan and Susan, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Chuck Smith wants us to pray for the village leadership, for all of the businesses in the village, and for residents in our community, that as we all work together to make a better community for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And he also praises God for 2 years of improved health for Lynn Skinner. She's a walking miracle. Praise the Lord. The Millers, Lisa and Phil Miller, are praising God for the visit of their daughter, Jordan, a brief visit this weekend. And then Lisa asks for prayers for her sister, Stacy, who will have surgery in Austin next week. And then pray for Phil's family and for Phil because he's lost two uncles in just a few days this week. So for Phil and Lisa and their family, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, as we come before you, about to eat the food from your table, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit to move amongst all of us. Would you pick up from each heart the things that are causing us to be anxious or concerned or worried? Would you collect our praises and our gratitude? And Lord, we just also lift up each other as we pray right now. We pray for the well-being of everyone in this room this morning, as well as for those whom we love who are not here with us. And God, we thank you for the moisture that's coming. We love our mountain and we love our forests, and we want to keep good care of it. And we thank you for being a deterrent to forest fires. And now, God, we're going to rest the concerns of our heart on these words as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to our time of Holy Communion, and we have agreed together that during Lent we will share in Holy Communion each Sunday as we try to focus our hearts on the great gift that God gave us through the sacrifice of his Son, so that our whiteboards are wiped clean of all that red ink. So today, as you come, you'll come down the center aisle. You can kneel or stand at the altar rail, and Bruce and I will serve you. We do have gluten-free bread. All you have to do is ask me for it, and we'll serve you. Those who prefer to remain in your seats, we will come serve you in your seat. So we are trying to make it comfortable for everyone to be invited to God's table. So would you turn to page 13 in your hymnal?
You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
And on that night when he gave himself up for us, he took bread and he broke it. And he told the disciples that this represented the giving of his body for them. At the same time, he took a cup, and the wine was lightly red. And he poured that wine into a big chalice. And he says, this represents the forgiveness of sins, again, so that our white boards will be erased. And he said, drink from this, all of you. And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ that we may be for the world, the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now will those who are going to serve and our worship leaders please come.
Flesh and dream. Thank you.
Well, what does the Lord require of me? Micah chapter 6, verses at the beginning of the chapter, goes like this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? And so the person now begins to list all of these things, these just like extravagant things. Do I need to give all these huge things to God? Should I come to him with calves a year old? You know, to these people who lived in the desert, to have a calf was like extraordinary wealth. So with what should I come to the Lord? To bring God a calf? Well, should I bring him thousands of rams? Well, the law only required one. And so this person is really like just going to the most distant extremes, trying to find ways to please God, even to the extreme of, should I offer a human sacrifice? Now, the Jews never offered human sacrifices. This is just what we English teachers call hyperbole. Anybody know what that means? Exaggeration. You know, this is to the extreme. And then the reply is, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good.
And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Later in the New Testament, James is going to say, be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not enough to show up at church. It's not enough to rattle off glibly some doctrine or I believe this, that, or the other. We are to be doers of the stuff that we read about in our holy text. Well, then we come to the reading in John chapter 2. And I'm reading from the Message, which is kind of a paraphrase. It's kind of fun language that's more like you and I talk. Listen to John chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. When the Pentecost feast, celebrated each spring by the Jews, was about to take place, Jesus traveled to Jerusalem. He found the temple teeming with people selling cattle and sheep and doves. The loan sharks were also there in full strength. Jesus put together a whip made out of strips of leather and chased them out of the temple, stampeding the sheep and cattle, upending the tables of the loan sharks, spilling coins left and right. He told the dove merchants, get your things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a shopping mall. That's when his disciples remembered the scripture, zeal for my father's house consumes me. But the Jews were upset. This is the temple authorities. They asked, what credentials can you present to justify all of this mess you just made? And Jesus said, tear down the temple, and in 3 days I'll put it back together again. They were indignant. It took 46 years to build this temple, they said, and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? But Jesus was talking about his body as the temple. Later, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said. They then put two and two together and believed both what was written in the scripture and what Jesus had said. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we can assume that Jesus was pretty worn out. He had just begun to start his public ministry. He had called his first disciples and was beginning to train them. And then they went to a 3-day long wedding feast, where there was a lot of partying and apparently a lot of wine, because it was a setup for his first miracle, where his mother outed him and he had to turn that water into wine. Of course, there was great exhausting hoopla over that miracle, right? Well, immediately following the wedding feast, Jesus was with his disciples, his mother, and his brothers at a family reunion for several days. Another exhausting event, right? That alone could be exhausting, but here we see him walking from Capernaum to Galilee to Cana and finally deciding to walk up to Jerusalem, to climb that mountain up to the city of Jerusalem where the temple was. It was a steep climb to that city on the hill. All this travel was on foot. Indeed, Jesus was weary when he walked into that temple. You know how we are when we get tired. Our tempers get short, don't they? Imagine how his senses were assaulted when he arrived in the temple. And it was teeming with people doing all of these Passover duties. Jesus, who came for all people, was shocked to see the gates were closed to the courtyard of the Gentiles. This was the only place in the temple that Gentiles could come in order to pray. And the gate was locked, and that area was full of all of those animals, the cattle, the sheep, and the doves that were all their noises were bouncing around off of those stone walls. All kinds of mooing and bleating and cooing going on. Their caretakers were shouting over the cacophony, "Hey, mister, for you, special deal. Hey, buy from me. No, buy from me." Special deal? Closed gates? What's going on here? Jesus approaches the holy place, and he steps in sheep doo-doo, or stumbles into a table of temple coins. He thinks, what in the world are these people doing? They're filling up this courtyard of prayer with animals and business transactions. People can't even get in here. Weary, flushed with anger, he shouts, "Get out! Get out!" And he drives them all out of the temple. This entry area was the only area that non-Jews could access to pray, and it had been filled up with activities of the pious religious establishment. Someone in charge must have said, "And we can use that space. They're not members anyway." Jesus, who had come to seek and save all people, Jesus, who had come to invite all people to the banquet, Jesus, who particularly cared for the outcast, the unimportant, and said he came to bring good news to the poor, was angry because religious people were blocking the door, thus robbing the non-believers of the one place where it was safe and welcome for them to pray. It's really easy for we religious people to block the door. When a visitor came to one of my churches, a member walked up to him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You're sitting in my seat," blocking the door. In another town I lived in, one of the local businessmen was known for not paying the hired help and for aggressive business practices. Someone says, "I don't want to go to your church. Bunch of hypocrites over there." You see, it's easy for we religious people to block others when we're performing the outward appearances of religion and are not acting justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. So the first lesson of today's story is for us to watch for ways where our behaviors, the way we act, the way we live, the way we treat others might be blocking someone's access to the house of God. In our story today, outsiders were being blocked by insiders' extreme religiosity. You know, you've experienced it when someone tells you that their group is the only group going to heaven, or they tell you that you weren't baptized in enough water, or you don't take communion often enough, or you have a woman preacher. You're in real trouble. Jesus was angry at a religion's practice that made access difficult. These people did it through requiring use of temple coins to buy temple animals to give a sacrifice to God. And of course, they had this exchange rate that allowed the loan sharks to make money, because the rule was you could not bring Roman coins into the temple. It had to only be Jewish coins. So in that exchange, there was some skimming going on. Additionally, the dove offering was for the poor. Poor people couldn't afford to offer a lamb, much less a huge cow. And Jesus yelled at the dove merchants at the very idea that they were selling at such a profit, such that the poor were hurting. Now, close inspection of the temple culture revealed that it had forgotten its purpose. And here is the second lesson in our sermon today. The temple people had forgotten their purpose. What is our purpose? Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God and not love our neighbor. So we worship God and we reach out to our neighbors, all neighbors, everyone. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. That's our job. That's our work. Have we forgotten our purpose? So Jesus shouts at the people in the temple, "Get out of here." Jesus shouts and he grabs up a whip and he drives them out. He was assaulting religion because the temple was the place where one should come to praise God. Passover was the time to celebrate God, what God had done. The awesome God of Sinai had been domesticated into a business transaction. Rigid rituals were practiced, making it difficult for many to get to God. And it made Jesus angry. Here's a question. Are we protecting our beliefs or our traditions or our ways of doing things? And if we are we doing it in such a way that people know and experience loving God's love in how we present, how we think or feel? You see, Jesus is interested in our transformed hearts rather than our perfect execution of various orders of worship or laws or doctrines. The bottom line is, God sent Jesus to show us that we can be free from the trappings and the trippings of a law-based system, and that God's new way in Jesus Christ is as simple as loving. As simple as loving. Jesus came to drive out our rigid, false approaches to God. Jesus came to teach us to have a heart able to love and serve every neighbor. When we are loving and serving, we will be practicing justice and mercy and walking humbly with God. That's what God seeks. The prophet Micah says it. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. That's the greatest commandment. Let us pray. Holy God, it's Lent. And so we pray the psalm, create in us a new heart, O God. Renew in us a humble and upright spirit. May we be a people known for our open doors, our open attitudes, so that there's plenty of room here at this church for all people. May we worship you in spirit. May we be known by our love. May it be extraordinary, the way we treat each other and the way we treat every neighbor we meet. Teach us, O God, in the name of Jesus, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Will you turn to page 399, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.